Joining me today is award-winning photographer and journalist Eric Lindberg. Eric is such an amazing photographer, and he's going to give us some tips on how to get those perfect pictures in the winter. So sit back and enjoy. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm good, Gaylene. Good to see you.
You as well. And I'll see you pretty soon in person.
Yes. Looking forward to seeing you in a few days on the other side of the country.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be cold, but it'll be nice. Well, we're going to talk about a fun topic to me and one that I'm not very good at, which is taking photos in the winter. And you're just an all-around good photographer. So I am wanting you to enlighten me and my listeners on how do you get good photos in the winter?
Happy to talk about it. Winter has its own set of challenges, but for those of us who get out there in the winter, there are some beautiful scenes to capture at a time when a lot of people are not even bothering because of the cold or the challenging weather.
I see sometimes these pictures and I'm like, how do they make that so beautiful? Or, you know, when do you shoot? Like, what's the best time to be out in the winter to try to get those great shots?
Well, I follow the same cardinal rule as I do the rest of the year, which is for photographers, the magic light beginning in the early morning around dawn and then going from later afternoon into sunset. That's when the light is often soft and interesting without the harshness of that midday light. So same blanket rule of, you know, the magic light of the two ends of the day. Now, with that said, Gaylene, overcast, cloudy midday skies can make for nice, evenly lit landscapes. A bright, clear sky without any clouds and a snowy landscape can be a very challenging shot because you can have both bright and dark areas in the scene. And that sometimes throws the camera meter a curveball. And I can talk a little more about that later. Days are shorter in the winter, so there's less daylight. So on the positive side, you don't have to get up as early or stay out as late. I'm not an early morning person, but I do set an alarm to be up at first light for landscapes. And most of the time, I don't regret it.
You know, I've seen some of those really beautiful alpenglow in the winter, and I just can't seem to get those that great picture like that. So do you have a different setting that you use, or what's your recommendation?
Well, alpenglow may have been because, Gaylene, you were either sleeping in or you were sitting out down to dinner during alpenglow. Just joking. Although alpenglow does come at the, you know, very last light of the day, usually, or the very first part of the day. For settings like that, and one thing with settings with snow, camera meters are often thrown off by snow and they think it's a very bright scene. So they tend to shut down your aperture. And if you are shooting like in a not shooting in auto or program, you're shooting with a shutter priority or aperture priority, it's real easy to increase your aperture a little bit. So what I do is in snow, I often, as a blanket rule, will increase my aperture by 1/3 to 2/3 of a stop. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, it's probably because they only shoot in auto, but I would suggest learning a little bit about the other modes, such as aperture priority and shutter priority. In them, you can easily increase or decrease your exposure compensation. And with snow, I'll automatically just click up my exposure compensation plus one or two stops, 1/3 or 2/3 of a stop, which turns your snow from gray back to white as it should be. Otherwise, your meter is going to see that bright snow and kind of close down your aperture, and you'll get gray snow instead of pure white snow. And that's mostly just for when you have a lot of snow in your shot.
Oh, that's a great tip. Well, that goes into to shoot wildlife. I always feel like when I take a wildlife photo, it just looks like a big brown thing. Mm-hmm. How do you get a good photograph of wildlife in the winter?
Well, probably the first step and the most expensive one is have a nice telephoto lens.
Yes.
For all my, just about all my wildlife if I've got a longer telephoto lens, and that could be anywhere from, let's say, 200 millimeter on up. There are some animals that will come up to you, like squirrels at a parking lot in a national park. They're so tame, it's, you know, you're fighting them off. Monkeys on safari or in India, they're all over the place. But in general, I keep a safe distance from an animal and respect their need for space so they're not stressed. Animals in winter are in survival mode. They're just trying to stay warm and find food. So I make sure I don't do anything to disturb that process. And that's where my telephoto lens comes in. In the winter, especially in the mountains, many animals, as you probably know, go to lower elevations. So they may be more visible. And some species, such as elk and deer, tend to congregate more instead of spreading out. If you know where to go in a place such as Rocky Mountain National Park, you can usually, you know, the rangers will tell you where the elk are. That's one way to get closer to them. I prefer animals coming toward me rather than me coming toward the animal, unless it's a grizzly bear, of course. Right.
Which we don't have. So.
Yes, right, exactly. But I think, you know, checking where animals are, you know, whether you're going to a wildlife refuge or a national park or a state park, you can get that information online or through, you know, a ranger, and find a place where you can shoot from a car or from a stationary place where they're not being spooked by you.
Okay.
Another great way to shoot wildlife close up in winter is having a bird feeder in your yard. It's a very, winter is a very active time at bird feeders, and I've got my feeder set up so I can see and photograph them from my back porch. And I also make sure that the background of my angle isn't power lines or someone else's house. I've got them against trees. So if there is a place where you can shoot them where you're not shooting against the neighbor's house or some structure, it'll look more natural. And the birds don't seem to care. I stay pretty still. And I think they're much more interested in the food than in me. So
right.
Again, a telephoto lens helps, but that's a good way to get close. And those little guys are hungry, and good time to photograph them as well as just watch them. It's a nice bit of color in your backyard in the winter.
I agree. I actually have two feeders out right now. I have to fill them about every third day. So they are hungry. Yeah. And I'm going to do some of your tips and get out there and see if I can get some good pictures.
Good. Let me know how that works.
I will. So another question I have for you is, like, you'll see these, like, it's a snowy day with a beautiful fluffy snow coming down. How do people get that perfect shot?
I research online. Google is this magical tool that we didn't have a couple of decades ago. And it's amazing what you can find there, as everybody now knows. If I'm going to a location, I'll just Google, for example, winter shots, Rocky Mountain National Park, winter shots, great sand dunes, and winter photography, and see what comes up. I'll look for examples. I'll get ideas on what other photographers found to shoot, some ideas. It gives me some creativity for what I might do myself. So that's what I'll first do online. I'll look at national parks, state parks, wildlife reserves, and sanctuaries, maybe if I want to shoot animals, to see what's active and present during those winter months. But I think in general, just going online and seeing what's available. I'll also watch the weather. And if I want a snowy shot, I'll see what kind of snow is around and what's on the ground, or if it looks barren and brown, that may be a different kind of shot.
Some good ideas. Well, do you have some tips that you can share with us on winter photography? You've already given a lot, but are there some of your just standard go-tos?
Yes, for like shooting when it's maybe cloudy or snowy. When the snow is falling, it's tough to avoid giving them the shot. Tough, probably impossible. And falling snow in a photo isn't always real attractive, but that is a good time to experiment. Once again, if you're off auto mode or program mode and shooting, say, within a shutter priority, you could try a faster shutter speed to freeze the falling snow so it looks like little dots in your frame. And alternatively, you could try, if you have a tripod, you can use a slower shutter speed, say 1/15th or 1/10th of a second, for a soft blur effect. And they're two very different looks, but they could both be pretty effective when you're doing winter landscapes, especially if there's already a lot of snow on the ground. With that said, a cloudy sky doesn't stop me from shooting. when you have a cloudy, overcast sky, the light is pretty even and you don't have the harsh highlights or dark shadows of a bright, sunny day. And it can be nice and moody. And moody is often what we have with snowy landscapes anyway. That kind of light can also be good for capturing animal shots since the light will be even on their face. I've mentioned metering before and that the snow is going to fool the camera meter and underexposed to compensate for all that white. So when there is a lot of snow in the shot, as I said before, I'll often overexpose the shot by 1/3 or 2/3 of a stop. So I bring that snow back from gray to a pure white.
That's a really good tip because that is something that I tend to see in my photos is a big brown spot that's a moose and very flicking snow.
Yeah, try expanding your skill set. You know, look at manual and go off of auto or program into shutter priority or aperture priority. And you can usually easily increase or decrease your exposure just with a couple of clicks using those modes.
Those are great tips. Eric, I just love your photography and I just feel like I've learned from the best.
Thank you, Kaylee.
Yes.
I would tell people when you're out shooting in winter, first of all, keep yourself warm. Make sure you're well-dressed. You don't want to cut your time short because you're getting cold. It's not any fun at all. Dress in layers, the usual thing. Warm hat, warm socks, gloves and everything. And I have thin, warm liner socks. So when I'm out there, I can take off my bigger mitts and be able to use my camera and still keep my hands warm. I also keep extra batteries with me since cold weather tends to drain batteries. And I keep those batteries warm in a pocket by my body. So that's just another thought. I always check the weather forecast beforehand, even the night before, to see what I'm up against when that alarm goes off at 5:30.
You know whether you can sleep in or whether you got to get up.
Exactly. I'm not going to get up if I'm walking into a snowstorm.
Right.
How true.
Right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for your time. This was so interesting and educational.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you, Galen. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.